Father Chad Ripperger recently gave a conference that you can find on Census Fidelium TV. It's about 3 hours long. In the conference, he says that the state of the world is so bad because the state of the church is so bad. Because as the church goes, so does the world. In other words, the world is always going to be behind the church as far as morality. If the state of the church is good, then the state of the world will be good, but not as good as the church. But if the moral state of the church is bad, then the world is going to be even worse. Scripture alludes to this in Matthew 15, 21 through 27. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. All grace comes into the world through the Catholic Church. When the state of the church is good, or there's plenty of food on the table, then lots of scraps get dropped on the floor for the dogs to eat. But when the state of the church is bad, or there's little food on the table, then very little scraps get dropped, or perhaps even nothing at all, and the dogs get mad. But how did the church get into such bad shape? The 1950s is considered the golden era for Catholicism, especially in America. Conversions were at an all-time high. Vocations to the priesthood, as well as religious life in general, were also at an all-time high. You didn't have problems finding a priest, and people were taught the authentic Catholic faith. This was reflected in the popular culture with movies such as The Bells of St. Mary, Song of Bernadette, A Man for All Seasons, and Sound of Music. It was as if America was starting to become Catholic. Then, within just a few short decades, the church is in a massive crisis, particularly when it comes to vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Beginning in the 1970s, vocations to the priesthood and religious life dropped a whopping 80% across the board, and many of those who were priests were leaving the priesthood. It is said that Pope Paul VI would cry as he spent all day on Fridays signing papers releasing priests from their vows. And people started leaving the church in droves, mainly because they were not being taught the authentic Catholic faith. We have a whole generation that has left the church. What happened to cause such radical change in such a short period of time? The Second Vatican Council, which was held from 1962 to 1965, and the church was completely changed as a result. It is the only council in church history held not to solve a problem, but to create one. Now, I want to be clear about a few things. First, the Second Vatican Council is valid, and the fact that Pope Paul VI declared the council not to be infallible does not mean that nothing authoritative came from the council. It is also not enough to say that all these problems came from the Second Vatican Council. It's the implementations that were put in from the late 1960s going forward, particularly when it comes to the Mass, that has caused the problem, most of which were never called for by the Council. But what the Council did was it relaxed the rules. It said, well, in this case, the bishop can do this, and in this case, it's okay for the bishop to do that, and all these exceptions for these extraordinary circumstances and rare occasions became the norm. The Second Vatican Council never called for communion in the hand, nor getting rid of Latin or Gregorian chants. It never called for folk guitars or this hippie mass that we have. That all came later. But why? Why would these bishops and cardinals go out of their way to harm the church? Because they are part of a plot by communists and Freemasons to destroy the church from within. And they saw their opportunity at the Second Vatican Council. They hijacked the council, deterring it from its original purpose, and implemented changes designed to weaken the church, both temporally and spiritually. Holy water used to have exorcisms attached to it, but now it doesn't. Prayers were altered, removing sections calling for protections from lust and the Mohammedans, and the St. Michael prayer was removed from the Mass. You can't tell me that wasn't done to weaken the church's authority on spiritual matters and help the Dark One. This is not conspiracy theory. The church has known for a long time that the Freemasons had plans to destroy the church. In his encyclical Humana Genus, Pope Leo XIII says, "The Freemasons, no longer making any secret of their purposes, they are now boldly rising up against God himself. They are planning the destruction of the Holy Church publicly and openly." Against the Apostolic See and the Roman Pontiff, the contention of these enemies has been for a long time directed. There are several organized bodies which, though differing in name, in ceremonial, in form and origin, are nevertheless so bound together by community of purpose, by the similarity of their opinions, as to make in fact one thing with the sect of the Freemasons, which is kind of a center whence they all go forth and whither they all return. One such group that goes by a different name yet closely associated with and carried out the plans of Freemasonry was the Carbonari, a secret society that was prominent mainly in France and Italy. The Carbonari called their lodges Venditas. The head lodge was called the Alta Vendita. In the mid to late 1800s, the Catholic Church was given a document from a former member who had left the lodge and joined the Catholic Church called the Permanent Instruction of the Alta Vendita. It lays out the long-term Freemasonic plan to infiltrate the Catholic hierarchy, water down Catholic theology, in the hopes of one day having a pope that will espouse and input Freemasonic ideals. Not one from their ranks, but rather one formed in their ideology. Admitting this process could take over 100 years or more. I would say they haven't had just one, but a few. The ultimate goal of the document says this, quote, "Our ultimate end is that of Voltaire and the French Revolution, the final destruction of Catholicism and even of the Christian idea." St. Maximilian Kolbe was in Rome in 1917, which marked the 200th anniversary of the official founding of Freemasonry. He witnessed their public celebration and, well, I'll let him tell you what happened. In the years leading up to the war, the Masonic clique disapproved on several occasions by the sovereign pontiffs governed in Rome, the capital of Christianity, with ever greater impudence. It did not even hesitate to brandish in the streets of the city during the festivities in honor of Giordano Bruno a black flag showing the Archangel Michael beneath the feet of Lucifer. Still less, they did not hesitate to brandish Masonic insignia beneath the windows of the Vatican. A reckless hand felt no repugnance in writing, "Satan will rule in the Vatican and the Pope will serve him in the uniform of a Swiss guard," and other things of that kind. This mortal hatred of the Church of Jesus Christ and for his vicar was not just a prank on the part of deranged individuals, but a systematic action proceeded from the principles of Freemasonry: destroy all religion, whatever it may be, especially the Catholic religion. A woman who went by the name of Bella Dodd was a member of the American Communist Party in the 1930s and 40s. She reverted back to Catholicism in the 1950s. In her book, School of Darkness, and in her testimony before Congress, she described the Communist Party's plan to infiltrate the Catholic priesthood. She said that her and the Communist Party in America got over 1,100 of these communist double agents into the Catholic seminaries in the 1930s, and that they were in positions of power at the time of her testimony in the 1950s. Now, that's just in America. And of course, these Freemasonic and communist infiltrators were in positions of power by the 1960s, allowing them to steer the council in the direction they wanted. More evidence of the communist and Freemasonic infiltration has come to light. From the book AA 1025, Memoirs of a Communist Infiltration of the Church, based on discovered documents of the KGB, we read, "Moreover, the faithful will have to break themselves from the habit of kneeling, and this will be absolutely forbidden when receiving communion. Very soon, the host will be laid in the hand in order that all nation of the sacred be erased." Directives from 1962 for the Second Vatican Council from the infamous P2 Lodge in Italy, who lost its Masonic charter in 1978, were discovered in 1974. There are 34 directives in all. Here's just a few. Remove St. Michael, the protector of the Catholic Church, from every prayer, whether inside or outside of the Mass, once and for all. Remove all his statues. Say that it detracts from Christ. Assign Protestant ministers to revise and desacralize the Mass. Instigate doubts that the Eucharist is closer to the Protestant belief that is only bread and symbolic. stopped communicants from kneeling and to receiving the host. Tell nuns to stop the children from folding their hands to and from communion. Tell them that God loves them as they are and wants them to be perfectly relaxed. Remove all statues and pictures of angels. Why have statues of our enemies around? Call it a myth or a bedtime story. Get women and laity to give communion. Say that this is the age of the laity. Start giving communion in the hand like the Protestants instead of on the tongue. Say that Christ did it this way. Collect some for satanic masses. Again, the council never called for communion in the hand, but it opened the door so that it could be implemented. What they couldn't get done through the council, they did shortly after claiming the spirit of Vatican II. So what does all this mean? Well, it means that because of the state of the church, we shouldn't be surprised that the world is in such a horrible state. Every problem that the world has today was in the Catholic Church first, thanks to these infiltrators. We also shouldn't be surprised because the Catholic prophets over the last few centuries have said this was going to happen. So we can rest assured that what they say is going to be on the other side of this will happen as well, which is the restoration of the church, the return of Christendom and monarchy, and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But things are going to get much worse before they get better. In fact, there's a chastisement on the horizon. We know this because the Catholic prophets and various apparitions of Mary have told us. So stay close to Mary. We can pray to be spared the effects of the chastisement and for our salvations and the conversion and salvation of our loved ones by praying the Rosary. Every Marian apparition where she has gone over what's about to happen and what's happening now, she has said, pray the Rosary. You can provide protection for yourself and your family through praying the Rosary. Until my next video, God bless.